To think of it, I sound like my mother.
Janie flicked on the comm system. Boss Nesensky's dour face filled the tiny screen on a control panel. Christ, Mikhail, don't you ever take a break? The Russian grunted.
On our way back home, I will be able to rest for 9 months.
You got a point there, Jamie admitted. Sucking in a deep breath, he continued. Okay, here's our preliminary report from today's EVA.
I am ready. The tape recorder is on.
We brought 8 rocks aboard for testing. Dr. Malater and Dr. Brumato are sorting them out now in the lab section. 3 of them have some sort of orange intrusions on them that we haven't seen before. There are also similar orange streaks running along a cliff wall here and there. We took scrapings. Vosnesensky said,
Schmidt found orange coloration on the moon. Some form of glass, if I remember correctly.
This isn't glass, Jamie said. I'm sure of that.
Then what is it?
I don't know. Some sort of sulfur compound, maybe. We'll have to put it through the analysis routine. Vosnesensky gestured with one hand to indicate to Jamie to go on with his report. I took 4 borings down to depths of 10 meters. There doesn't seem to be a permafrost layer here on the valley floor, or if there is one, it's deeper than 10 meters.
What about deeper borings?
We decided to do 1 deep boring on tomorrow's EVA, after we moved to the second site. A deep bore takes more time, what with the heavier equipment and all. We just didn't have the time for it today. We won't travel so far that the 2 sites aren't geologically equivalent, so a single deep bore should do. The Russian blinked slowly and nodded. Ilona and Ioana will send you videos of the rock samples. We took soil samples, too, of course. Plenty of sandy regolith out here. A deep layer, more than 2 meters at this location. I set up a remote sensing beacon. The preliminary data we're getting from it show that the heat flow from below ground is significantly higher here on the canyon floor than it is up on the plain.
Higher heat flow? Why is that?
Don't know. Not yet. Jamie forgot his fatigue as he spoke. Everything we've seen so far indicates that Mars is cold inside. If it has a molten core the way the Earth does, it's very small and very deep. The core must have been bigger and hotter at one time, of course. Those Tharsis volcanoes can't be more than 500 million years old at most, but the core seems to have cooled down almost completely. No evidence of continental drift, nothing that even looks like continents.
Yet there is heat coming up from the canyon floor?
More than anywhere else we've investigated, Jamie confirmed. Something under this canyon is warm. That's why there are mists and water vapor down here.
What else?
Air density and temperature are consistent with what the remote probes have found. This whole canyon complex seems to have its own microclimate, warmer and with higher air pressure than the rest of the planet. Maybe the Hellas Depression exhibits the same phenomena. We'll have to check that out.
Not on this mission.
I know that. We'll need to come back. This is like exploring Africa, Mikhail. It's going to take decades, maybe a century or more, before we've got it all down. Vosnesensky broke into one of his rare smiles.
One thing you do not lack, Jamie, is ambition.
Jamie felt startled. Ambition? Me? But Vosnesensky was already framing his next question.
How do you feel? Do you want to speak with Tony? Is your health status good?
Jamie hesitated. Tired, but otherwise okay. Ilona's under the weather a bit, but I don't think anybody else has any complaints. I'll ask each one individually. If there are any problems, we'll call back.
Be certain that you do.
Jamie signed off and cut the connection. Odd that Mikhail should ask about our health. The damn guy must be telepathic. Then he realized that Ilona must have spoken with Tony while they were outside, and Mikhail saw that Ioana took the EVA with me instead of Ilona. He's a suspicious cuss. Typical Russian. Mars Orbit. Li Chengdu frowned at the display screen. He was in the command module of the Mars 2 spacecraft, sitting at the monitoring station behind the 2 pilot seats. Tolbukhin and the American astronaut Bert Klein had turned their seats around to make a little conference circle. Dr. Yang sat next to Li, pointing at the 2 lists displayed side by side on the screen. You see, Waterman and Brumado accomplished only half their scheduled tasks for the EVA. Yang's fingernail was long and red and carefully manicured. Li wondered why the physician bothered to lacquer her nails. She was not an especially good-looking woman, he thought. Rather plain, in fact, with a pug nose and overly thick lips. Her figure was nondescript. yet she adorned her tan coveralls with a bright gold mesh belt, and she wore a necklace and several bracelets that clashed together like miniature symbols whenever she moved her hands. Her mouse-brown hair had been recently clipped. She wore it in bangs that came down almost to her eyebrows, and her face was made up with lipstick and eyeshadow, no less. Has she decked herself out for me, Lee wondered? Or is she trying to impress our dashing cosmonaut and astronaut? Lee sighed to himself. As long as she doesn't make any problems for me, I won't interfere. But he found himself wondering if her toenails were lacquered also. Their performance seems to be seriously degraded, Yang said, softly but insistently. Lee roused himself from his conjectures about her sex life. They had a strenuous journey down to the canyon floor. Perhaps they need more rest. Bert Klein agreed.
You can't expect them to stick to that schedule Waterman set up. It's too crowded. There's not enough time to do everything he wants done.
Perhaps, said Dr. Yang. She leaned close enough to Lee to work the computer keyboard. She was wearing perfume. Jasmine blossoms? A set of colored curves sprang up on the display screen. These represent the performance parameters of all the surface personnel, based on their own reports of tasks accomplished, Yang said. You can see that everyone's performance is degrading. Lee fingered his mustache.
Yes, I see.
Such a drop-off is normal, Tolbukin said. The same thing happens to personnel on the moon surface, and even aboard the space stations.
Yang nodded curtly, but she said, They have been on the surface for 5 weeks, and some drop-off in performances will be expected, yes, but please look at how steeply these curves go down.
Said Lee.
The big decline started only a few days ago. If their performance continues to degrade at this steep rate, they will all be helpless by the end of this week. Tolbukin's snort told them what he thought of her fears, but Klein shifted in his seat uneasily. For the first time, Lee felt troubled.
Might this be an artifact of the computer program? A coincidence, perhaps?
Yang's painted face took on a stubborn hardness.
That is not possible. I use the standard evaluation program. The personnel here in orbit do not show the same deterioration. Nothing like it.
Lee said again.
Something is definitely wrong.
More than the usual fatigue factors? Klein asked.
Much worse.
What do you think it could be?
Yang shrugged her slight shoulders.
It might be psychological, or it might be physical, or a combination of both.
Tolbukin laughed at her.
You cover all the possibilities, and as a result, you tell us nothing of value.
Lee cast a sharply disapproving glance at the cosmonaut. Then he asked Dr. Yang,
Have you checked the physiological profiles that Dr. Reed has been sending up?
Yes, that was the first thing I did. They all look normal enough. The surface team is in good health.
And the psychological reports?
They seem normal also, although it is easier to mask a problem there than with the physical examinations.
Have you spoken to Dr. Reed about this?
Not yet. The mission regulations clearly state that I am required to inform you of this problem before contacting anyone on the surface team.
Ah, yes. The regulations. Well, let us both speak with Dr. Reed. Immediately.
Tolbukin raised a skeptical eyebrow. Klein looked worried. Sol 36. Evening.
No, I have not seen any untoward deterioration of the physical condition, Tony Reed said to Lee's image on his communication screen.
He glanced at Voznesensky, scowling at him.
Everyone here seems to be in reasonably good physical shape. Agib's recovered from his bumps and bruises rather nicely.
Reed was sitting in the little cubicle of his infirmary. Off by the folding door, out of range of the TV camera built into the comm set, Voznesensky sat on the examination stool like a menacing policeman, his arms folded stubbornly across his thick chest.
Then how do you account for this deterioration in performance?
Asked Dr. Yang from behind Lee's shoulder. Reed made a bland smile for her.
I'll have to look into it. First thing I'll do is run a few snap physical checkups to make certain that there's no bugs infecting us.
What is the team's psychological condition?
Lee asked, his long, sallow face etched with lines of worry.
No major problems. Everyone seems to be happy with their work. Even Patel has settled back to his work and stopped grumbling.
Yang asked,